Okay, instead of reading the scripture that you see printed there, I'm going to be sharing a number of verses from Proverbs as we go through here today. So you'll get the scripture in the middle of the sermon instead of at the beginning of it. We come today to the book of Proverbs. We're working our way through the books of the Bible. And I have to tell you that the book of Proverbs has the best collection of one-liners of any book in the entire Bible. You can find one-line statements about all sorts of things, about people who talk too much, about people who treat the poor badly. You can find one-liners about people that are lazy, one-liners about people who can't control their temper. There's all sorts of these great one-liners in the book. So let me share some of them with you. A babbling fool will come to ruin. There are one-liners about people who don't want to be corrected, as opposed to people who are willing to take criticism and be critiqued. There's this one. Those who hate to be rebuked are stupid. A scoffer who is rebuked will only hate you. The wise, when rebuked, will love you. There are proverbs about leadership and how important it is for leaders to get lots of advice from people. There's this one. In an abundance of counselors, there is safety. There are proverbs that help us understand human psychology. Anxiety weighs down the human heart, but a good word cheers it up. There are proverbs about people who can't control their anger. Fools show their anger at once, but the prudent ignore an insult. Again, a proverb with psychological insight. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. There are a surprising number of proverbs that have to do with how we treat the poor. And in our mission work, we're just starting to be exploring, come this September, some new work that our church is hoping to do with the poor who are in our own community. The field of the poor may yield much food, but it is swept away in injustice. There are proverbs about raising children. Those who spare the rod hate their children, but those who love them are diligent to discipline them. Another proverb with psychological insight about what it means to be lonely and to not be understood by other people. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. There are proverbs about the importance of working hard. In toil, there is profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but one who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Those who oppress the poor insult their maker. There are proverbs about learning to speak in ways that actually help you get stuff done instead of trying to persuade people in counterproductive ways. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle tongue is the tree of life. There are proverbs about pride. The Lord tears down the house of the proud. One's ways may be pure in one's own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Those who are arrogant are an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, they will not go unpunished. There are proverbs about how it's good to have a lot of stuff and a lot of wealth, but there are proverbs that remind us there are things that are more important than wealth and money. There's this one. It is better to have a little with righteousness than a large income with injustice. Proverbs sometimes remind us that we don't control everything. The human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps. Train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. Proverbs about money. The borrower is the slave of the lender. Proverbs about remembering traditions. Do not remove the ancient landmarks that your ancestors have set up. There are proverbs that tell us to stay away from certain people. Do not associate with hotheads. Do not wear yourself out trying to get rich. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool. Wise warriors are more mighty than strong ones. Proverbs about laziness. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber. There are proverbs warning us about too much indulgence. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, or else having too much, you will vomit it. There are a number of proverbs about gossip. And sometimes the gossiper in the proverbs is known as the whisperer. So we have this. For lack of wood, a fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, gossiper, quarreling ceases. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. There's this one. Those of us who don't like getting up real early in the morning, or if we get up early, we don't want to talk to anybody till we've had 18 cups of coffee, if you're one of these people. Here's this proverb. Whoever blesses a neighbor with a loud voice early in the morning will be counted as cursing. So I just want to ask the Northam family, when you walk your dog, if I'm not out of bed yet, don't say nice things about me in a loud voice, so don't wake me up. Better a neighbor who is nearby than kindred who are far away. There are proverbs about friendship. Do not forsake your friend or the friend of your parent. There is this beautiful proverb, again, giving insight into human relations. One human heart reflects another. One person sharpens the wit of another. There's this one. Those who trust their own wits are fools. There is this one. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Pride goeth before disaster, a haughty spirit before a fall. There is a proverb telling us that things are not always as they appear to be. Sometimes there is a way that seems to be right, but in the end, it is the way of death. A whisperer, gossiper, separates close friends. Better a dry morsel with quiet than feasting in a house full of strife. There's this one. A friend loves at all times, and kinfolk are born to share adversity. I'm trying to figure that out. That means your family is mainly trouble, and your friends are where you get your relief, usually because of your family. So, unless you've got a daughter like Mindy, in which case, you have a friend in the family. A cheerful heart makes good medicine. One who is cool in spirit has understanding. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing a personal opinion. There is this, some friends play at friendship, but a true friend sticks closer than one's nearest kin. There are a number of proverbs about wives who cause trouble. And I'm going to tell you why in a little bit, why there's no proverbs about husbands who cause trouble. I'll get to that. I better get to it. A wife's quarreling is a continuous dripping of rain. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord and will be repaid in full. There is several proverbs about substance abuse. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is astray is led astray by it is not wise. A gossip reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a babbler. There's this one. The glory of youths is their strength, but the beauty of the aged is their gray hair. The beauty of the aged is their gray hair. Take that, all of you who are coloring your hair out there. If you close your ear to the cry of the poor, your cry will not be heard. So we have these delightful proverbs. Now, I do want to just take a few moments, just for the fun of it, and point out that there are some things that we think are in the Bible that are not. So there are things that we think are proverbs, but they're nowhere found in the Bible. For instance, that phrase, no pain, no gain, that's not in the Bible. That comes from your physical therapist. Or this one from Benjamin Franklin, not in the Bible, he that lies down with dogs rises up with fleas. Not in the Bible. God helps those who help themselves. Not in the Bible. That's Benjamin Franklin. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Not from the Bible. John Wesley promoted that one. To thine own self be true. Not in the Bible. That's from Hamlet. Charity begins at home. Not in the Bible. Actually, that comes from a comedian from medieval Rome who said it as a way of making fun of it. Charity begins at home, as a way of ridiculing people who say that. Pride goeth before fall. We've all heard that one. Not in the Bible, although it's actually attributed to the Proverbs. Actually, pride goeth before fall comes from that kid that got his memory verse screwed up. Because the verse actually said, pride goeth before destruction, haughty goeth before fall. So somebody messed up the verse, and now we've got pride goeth before fall. This too shall pass, not from Proverbs, not from the Bible. That's from a medieval Persian poet. The Lord works in mysterious ways, not from the Bible, but from an 18th century hymn. In all things moderation, not biblical. That's Aristotle. Hate the sin, love the sinner, not biblical. That's Gandhi. So I want to have us think for a little bit this morning about the story that's behind the book of Proverbs, because every book of the Bible has a story behind it. And the story behind Proverbs that helps us understand how to interpret the Proverbs, the story is this, that in ancient societies, there were academies for young men so that they could learn, young men could learn how to be wise and how to have good character. So the young men would be sent to these academies, and they would be taught what we now would read in the book of Proverbs. And many ancient societies had these academies for young men, and these were the men who would be heads of their families, these were the men who would be heads of businesses, who would help to govern the people, heads of communities, heads of the religion. They were all sent to these academies to learn. And we have a number of ancient writings from various cultures that are still in existence that remind us, that let us know what these young men were taught. And the book of Proverbs is one of these. There are also books from the ancient Egyptians and books from the ancient Babylonians as to what they taught young men. Now, young women were also taught good character, and they also were taught wisdom, but they were taught by the women, and the women never have let us in on things that they talk about, you know, when we're not around. They never wrote it down. And so while the women also passed wisdom and character from generation to generation, it's not something that we have a record of. All we have a record of is what the guys taught the young men. And that's what the book of Proverbs is. It is a book of sayings and teachings for young men. And that's why there's nothing in there about what to do about a lousy husband, because they didn't figure any of these guys would have a husband. So that's why we only see things about what to do with a troublesome wife in the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs, as with some of the other ancient literature where young men were being taught wisdom and character, the book of Proverbs teaches young men to look to look around them in order to gain wisdom. They're taught to look to nature. They're taught to look to the religious teachings. They are taught to look to their parents. They're taught to... Well, here's the thing that's strange about Proverbs. The book of Proverbs teaches young men to look around them and learn from strong women. None of the other texts from the ancient world, not from the Babylonians, not from the Egyptians, teaches that. But the book of Proverbs teaches these young men, if you really want to learn character, if you really want to be intelligent, if you really want to have wisdom, there are strong women all around you. And that's the best place to learn it. Now, the book of Proverbs, you will recall, ends in the 31st chapter with a chapter that starts out, who can find a good wife? And then goes on to explain what a good wife looks like. And she's intelligent, she's strong, she's independent, she does her own thinking, she doesn't need men to tell her what to do, she has a good reputation, she has a good sense of who God is, and this is the chapter that climaxes the whole book of Proverbs. And here are these young men, and it's interesting because when I was a young man, we learned if you want to be a man, don't act like a girl. If you want to be a man, then you can't be a sissy. And yet, here's the book of Proverbs in the Bible, which says, if you want to be a man, then find a smart, strong woman and learn from her. Now, just because you're a woman doesn't mean you're smart and strong, because the Proverbs also give us examples of women who are just as rotten as some guys are. So, but what the Proverbs makes clear is this, that it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. It absolutely doesn't matter when it comes to intelligence, when it comes to strength, when it comes to ability, when it comes to sharpness, when it comes to reputation. Absolutely doesn't matter. And the smart guy will be open to learning from strong women. A key theme in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs also personifies wisdom. And in Greek, the word wisdom is Sophia. So in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is a woman, Lady Wisdom, Sophia. Sophie's not here today, so I've picked on Joshua and I've picked on Caleb, but today was my day to pick on Sophie, but she's not here. So Sophia is Lady Wisdom, personified in the book of Proverbs. And Lady Wisdom, we are told, is with God at the very beginning and participates with God in the creation of nature. Sophia is there working with God to make everything that we have. And in the Gospels, particularly the Gospel of John, there's very clear that Jesus saw himself in the metaphor of Lady Sophia, of Lady Wisdom. And there are many things that caused Jesus to understand who he was. The metaphor of a shepherd, the metaphor of a king, the metaphor of living water. But a key metaphor to help Jesus understand himself and his mission and to help us understand who Jesus is the metaphor also of Lady Wisdom. And we see that again, like I say, over and over in the Gospel of John. So, as we are reading through the book of Proverbs, we're bringing our questions that we're bringing to all the books of the Bible. What's the bad news of Proverbs? What's the good news of Proverbs? What are the practical applications of it? And the bad news of Proverbs is pretty much all over the book. It's the kind of ways that you can get in trouble. It's the way you can live a lousy life. It's the way, all these different ways that you can make other people miserable as well as yourself. So the Proverbs warn us against neglecting the poor. That's bad news to neglect the poor. The Proverbs make that very clear. The Proverbs say drunkenness is bad news. Disloyalty to a spouse, to a friend, to your parents, to your family, to your community, to a neighbor, disloyalty is bad news. A loose tongue, bad news. A bad temper, a quick temper, bad news. Laziness, bad news. Pride, bad news. Trusting in your money, bad news. Strife, gossip, disrespecting the aged, not listening to your parents, stinginess, bad news. So the Proverbs are filled with warnings, these little one-liners, telling us that this path is it's not a good one. It's just bad news if you follow that one. What's the good news of Proverbs? Well, for every one-liner to say, don't go here, there's usually another one-liner to say, go this way instead. And that's the good news of Proverbs. It's the direction that the Proverbs give us toward the good life. And the good news of Proverbs is this, that it's one-liners of wisdom. They work. Usually. And I want to add that asterisk on there with this good news. The teachings of Proverbs work. Usually. But remember, they're one-liners. And life is complex. So if you do all the things with your kids and you do them the right way, that will work. Usually. But there's other stuff that comes into play. You can work hard. The Proverbs say if you work hard, you'll be rich. Usually. But there are other factors that are involved in that as well. So we know that wisdom works usually. And it's important for us to keep that in mind. That's the good news of Proverbs. Now, next week, the book that we're going to look at is the book of Ecclesiastes. And I love that Proverbs and Ecclesiastes are right next to each other in the Bible, because Proverbs say, if you follow the rules, you'll have a good life. And Ecclesiastes comes along in the next book and says, well, you know, really, it won't matter. It doesn't matter whatever rules. I mean, you can eat as healthy as you want and you're still going to get cancer. That's the book of Ecclesiastes. So here we have these two books, and they're right next to each other, and they have opposite points of view. Which is right? Proverbs or Ecclesiastes? They're both right. They both have truth. They're one-liners. How can you get the full complexity and truth of life in a bumper sticker? And that's what Proverbs are. That's what we find in Ecclesiastes. These are bumper sticker phrases. And so it's important for us to remember that, yes, while there is profound truth and profound direction and good news in the Proverbs, we always have to put that word on the end of it, usually. And even the Proverbs themselves, if we read the whole of them, help us to see that. The practical application of Proverbs, I'm just going to run through this really quickly, because if you read the book of Proverbs, you can get the practicality of it like that. You don't need a preacher to point these things out. Maybe a preacher is helpful if you're trying to figure out what the practicality of the book of Judges or Numbers is, but Proverbs is pretty evident. But I just want to say three things about the practical things in Proverbs. Proverbs teach us, particularly near the end of the book, to look to nature to learn wisdom. And nature has a great deal to teach us. The Proverbs cover that a little bit, not as much as maybe we'd like to see, but in the book of Proverbs, we find that phrase, look to the ant in nature and learn from the wisdom of the ant and all that it's able to accomplish. So that's the first thing, looking to nature to gain wisdom. Second thing is learn from the people who serve others, not from the people who lord it over others. This is a pretty much of a practical theme all the way through Proverbs. Sometimes we like to admire and we like to imitate people who are really proud and who strut and who are haughty and full of pride and brag about themselves all the time. And that's pretty attractive for young people to try to follow someone like that. But the book of Proverbs says don't follow those people. Follow people who instead have humility. Follow people who serve others, who spend their life doing good for others. Those are the people to copy, not the ones who are full of pride and think they're better than everyone else. And then a third piece of practical advice from the Proverbs, that I just to wrap this up. The book of Proverbs teaches us to trust universal wisdom rather than our impulses and our feelings. Now, feelings are important because feelings give us insight into who we are. If I have an urge, if I have a feeling, if I have some sort of an inner response to things that are going on, it's important for me to pay attention to my feelings, because I can learn about myself and I can get insight into some things that are happening. But while we should learn from our feelings, we shouldn't obey them. And that's a critical teaching of Proverbs. If you feel angry, okay, learn something from that. Pay attention to it, but don't obey it. if you feel like you're, if you feel revengeful, learn from that, but don't obey that. If you got a really good comeback to somebody, learn from what is going on in your mind, but don't obey that. The Proverbs teach us caution and patience so that in what we say and in what we do, we won't do more harm than good with people. It's a great book. It starts out with some long poems about Lady Wisdom. It does cover some women who are the opposite of Lady Wisdom. It has a lot of these great one-liners in it, just chapter after chapter, and then it culminates with teaching these young men that if they really want to be a man, they're going to have to learn from a woman. And so God's gift to us of wisdom to help us in our everyday lives.